We've had some pretty funny conversations.
And for like hours sometimes.
For hours, yep. Yep, definitely for hours. And some of the conversations, I can't even say what we talk about because it's so...
Well, yeah, some of it is definitely X-rated.
No.
Welcome to the Abby Official Fit Podcast, designed to provide you with motivational tips in lifestyle and fitness to help you grow into the best version of yourself. My name is Abby Sanchez, and the podcast starts now. Welcome to Abby Official Fit Podcast. My name is Abby Sanchez, your host, and I'm joined today by my handsome co-host, Keith. So, I hope you enjoy. I appreciate you tuning into this episode, and welcome, Keith.
Thanks. It's good to be on another podcast. We're also, we have a third guest here is our cat, Gary. So if you hear some meowing, that's just him communicating to us.
Yes. I don't know where Foons is. He's probably laying down somewhere on the floor.
He doesn't want to communicate.
No, he doesn't. Before I dive into this episode, if you have not yet subscribed to us on Spotify, Apple, iTunes, Amazon, or however you listen to us, please do so today. And if you want to share this podcast with someone, please do so with a friend, and you can rate it if you want. If you're new here, welcome and thank you for joining in. Our topic today is going to be on communication.
Communication is key. I've learned that sometimes the hard way by not communicating. Communication is your best route to get through whatever it is you're trying to fix, or it's a obstacle in your life. Communication is your key.
Okay, so I do agree with that 100%. I did a little mini session on communication with my work family. So I wanted to finally share this part with my podcast family and just give you a little bit of my two cents on what I had written up. When we talk about communication, I've done some research and it's kind of like a three-step process in terms of how to become a better communicator. Probably the most important skill that you have for deepening your connection with other people. And this three-step process they use is called love, not love like the flutter in your heart kind of love. It's L-U-V, love. Let's take this moment just to understand communication is the number one key for any relationship. And just to kind of backtrack on that, for a lot of you guys, you may or may not know that I was in a previous relationship that we didn't have great communication. And a lot of that, I'm not going to put the blame on the other person, but a lot of that had to do with me not being a good communicator, not having, you know, a lot of self-esteem and being insecure. And so I didn't know how to speak up for myself. What about you, Keith?
I think not having communication will eventually just tear everything down. Previously, in my old relationship, I was not a good listener. I just saw what I saw, and I didn't see the other person's views. And sometimes when you guys don't see eye to eye, then people just tend to shut down. You know, and sometimes people raise their voices to stress their points. And then these are some of the things that, you know, prevent people from having good communication. I think what you need to do is, my personal opinion, is to just talk sensible. Don't, you know, start yelling and screaming and using vulgar language. It just creates an extra barrier. So for me, I've learned the hard way. I think the best thing to do is just talk sensibly, talk intelligently, cut out all the extra screaming and yelling. I think that just makes things a lot worse. And I've been guilty of that 100%.
And I feel that, you know, communicating with somebody openly and honestly, just like how we do or how we try to work on doing every day, that comes hand in hand with communicating, listening. Keep the phrase in mind, if you are given two ears and one mouth, because you should be listening twice as much as you speak. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, very much.
I truly believe that one of the reasons why so many relationships fail is because of a lack of open and honest communication between both parties and the people in that relationship. Do you agree?
Oh, very much so. Not having a proper line of communication between two people is extremely detrimental to everything. It will bring everything down. You'll end up just despising one another. I think if you can just talk it out. And you know, sometimes people say that agree to disagree. That, you know, can help, because you're not going to see eye to eye even when you're communicating. Like when you're communicating, it doesn't mean that you're both going to agree with something at the end of the conversation. It can definitely be like, okay, well, that's your point, this is my point, but we're in a relationship, so we need to figure something out.
Right. And here's the problem with not being able to communicate properly in a relationship. When you have that problem, that's our cat Gary scratching in the background on a mat pad for my bike that he shouldn't be doing right now, but we're gonna just let him do that anyways. But the problem with not being able to communicate is that we're not really taught how to communicate with people. Sure, you can go and you can learn how to be a great public speaker. You can go to those, you know, what are they called? Those groups?
Toastmasters?
Yeah, Toastmasters, to become a great public speaker. But that's not going to make you necessarily be a great communicator or communicate, having great communication with your partner or people around you.
Yeah, when I worked at a bank, every Friday we used to have team meetings, and so many people were afraid to get up and speak in front of everybody. And I thought the best thing to do was put yourself in that uncomfortable position where you got better at talking. However, it doesn't change anything if you're in a conversation with a family member or a loved one and it gets heated. You could stand in front of, you know, 100 people. You could be in Toastmasters. But if you're dealing with one person that's just like, I don't see your view on this, and now I'm going to fight with you, I'm going to argue with you, it's a difficult thing. Because you're used to a lot of people listening to you, like, okay, okay. And that's great for your confidence. But if you're with somebody and they're just like yelling and screaming and not having what you are having to say, then that is very difficult.
And here's the problem. We're not really taught that. And to be honest with you, most of our parents are not really great communicators. Some of them are, but some of them aren't, because it's not something that's really taught. I wasn't really taught how to be a great communicator, because all we did in our house when I was growing up was just talk over each other until we were being heard, right? And I'm not saying that to knock my parents at all, but it's not something that you're born with. It's a skill set. Being able to learn how to communicate and listen.
My household was a little bit different. I guess that's why a lot of people think I'm so calm and like I'm not someone that yells and screams all the time. In relationship, we've had our ups and downs. We've had our yelling matches. But
I don't yell. I just talk loud.
Yeah, you're Filipino. I know you don't. But our communication is like great. Like we don't always see eye to eye. But like in my household, both my parents were, you know, they were the boss. We had to listen to what they say. But when I got older, I got a little bit saucy. But it was never yelling and screaming. It was more like, you have to listen to what I'm telling you. I look back, some of the things my parents said to me, I don't agree with. But other things, they were just looking out for me. But we did have good communication, definitely 100%.
And that's great. You know, what I have to say to that, and you were very fortunate having that growing up. The way I see communication is a skill. You're not born with it. It's not a talent. It definitely takes practice. For me, I've gotten much better at communicating, I think, personally. And once I realized how terrible of a communicator I was, that was something that I realized that I had to work with. In my family, we weren't great communicators at all, like how I had mentioned. We didn't talk about things, sit down as a family to have family meetings like how we do with our kids, right? Mm-hmm. We didn't talk about emotions. And so as I got older, I started having relationships. I realized that I wanted to grow as a person, in my profession, in my business, as a leader. I had to work and really practice my communication skills.
Yeah, that also for myself, communication skills. I'm not the most talkative person. If you get to know me, yes, I'll talk your ear off. However, for me, it was a lot of body language and facial expressions, which is also a form of communication. So I would not know, but someone would say something to me and I guess my face would speak 1,000 words or the way I was standing. And then I also did a lot of my own studies into like body language, like what people's stances are and their facial expressions and when a girl twirls her hair and this and that. So that's another form of communication. And that was also big in my house. Like I knew my dad was mad when he did a certain face and with his head and his arms. And I knew when my mom was mad when, you know, with her facial expressions and not even saying a word, but it said 1,000 words.
Right. And you know what? I really struggled in certain personal relationships to communicate effectively. And I always thought I was a really great communicator. Like, I'm a leader. I have this profession in my past life. And I really thought that I was a strong communicator. But now I really understand deep communication and that connection with another human being that I feel that I was really kind of fooling myself before and had to really understand what it was like to be a great communicator.
You and I, you know, when we got into this relationship, I had to sort of not... Like, you like good communication. We've sat there and like, why aren't you talking? I'm like not the most talkative person. I tell you everything that has gone on during the day, but it's just not that. It's we're in a relationship and our words are, you know, mean everything. And just sometimes just a simple, I love you, once a day, 10 times a day, 100 times a day speaks volumes. And that's just another form of communication. Your body language, your tone, and the things that you say can really affect somebody.
Absolutely. And so this is where this three keys to communication comes into play with someone. The method I'm talking about is love language. So L for listen, U for understand, V for validate. The L stands for listen. And this is really an important part to listen with no need to respond with your opinions or your input in any sort of way, because empathetic presence is the act of being fully present with another person, not just physically, but also emotionally and mentally as well. And I think that that's where I say listening is a skill set. Another skill set that we really need to try to get better at, it means setting aside your own thoughts, setting aside your judgments, setting aside your beliefs that were possibly ingrained into you by your parents or religion or whatever it might be. And setting those aside, setting aside the distractions and be entirely with the other person. One of the things that you start to learn as you start to become more of a leader and work in a leadership position, and especially as a coach for myself in the industry that I'm in, is the act of holding space for someone to actively speak whatever is on their mind without any judgment, but in a state of love where you can say whatever it is they want and to feel like, you know what, I feel safe. And basically what it is it's this I feel safe zone that gives them the opportunity to fully express exactly what's on their mind and without having to hold back, without having the judgments. And that's part of how we communicate as humans, right?
Yes, I agree. I'm guilty of not being a good listener at times, because if I'm set in my ways and there's something I believe in and there's someone telling me different, I'm not the best person to listen and say, oh, yeah, yeah, okay, I see your point. I'm very hard-headed.
But I'm guilty of that too. You know, I'm guilty of, you know, sometimes I don't put my judgments aside and I just want to talk and I forget, okay, you know what? Let me just listen to what he or she has to say, right?
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah, you don't. You have a very hard head at times.
Thank you. Thank
and
you
so
for that.
Do I. But I mean, that's part of this whole thing. Like, it's basically you and I. We're in a partnership and we're learning constantly and discovering all types of things, being in a very good relationship, and the communication is not breaking down. It's actually getting better day by day. That's what I find.
Let's talk about distractions. So like Gary over here purring and you know me petting him. And another one of the distractions that I wanted to talk about is the distractions of phones. I see this on a daily basis, not just here, and I'm not just the only one guilty of it, but in my workplace per se, being fully present with someone shows that you value them. It shows that you respect them, and it's about eye contact. That's communication. And really what it is let's just sit down and talk. Just put your phone away and let's just talk. There's so many times that in my place of work, when I am seeing a table of, you know, either families or couples, even let's just say, couples are waiting for their food. What are they doing? They're not having conversation. They're not talking to each other, making eye contact. You know what I see them doing 80%, 90% of the time? Yeah, they are on their phones, sitting beside each other, not talking, not communicating. Or for instance, there's a family having a dinner. What are the parents doing?
Giving their kids iPads?
They are giving their kids iPads. They're on their iPads watching, you know, whatever it is, Dora the Explorer or
YouTube
ASM is the enemy.
Videos.
While the parents are on their phones looking up Instagram, one is text messaging or shopping on Facebook Marketplace. And you know what? Okay, yeah, I'm not going to judge, because as a parent, when my kids were younger, that was definitely one way to calm them down. But we live in a world where technology just consumes us to the point where people don't know how to socialize without technology. They don't know how to have human interaction, communication. They don't know that. They've forgotten that.
Well, if you are in a restaurant and you're listening to this this podcast, I suggest you listen to the whole thing. Don't put away your phone.
That's right. Don't. Or if you're driving in your car, definitely. This Leave is it a on. Great place. Give it or to if your you're, kids. You know, doing cardio at the gym, definitely yeah. keep it on.
Yeah. But like, seriously, like we come from an era where we didn't have smartphones. Like, some people would have TVs in the kitchen, and my family was guilty of that. But you don't really need a TV in the kitchen. Like, it's when you sit down with your family, you should all be eating and talking and seeing what you guys did that day, not constantly on your phones. Like, we really stepped away from what is being human, and we are social creatures, but we shouldn't be attached to our phones so much, and I'm guilty of it. I'm trying to put away my phone. You know, when Abby comes home, I would be guilty of like, oh, who texted me? Oh, I got a like on my Instagram or whatever. Just
or we have a quick dinner somewhere, you know. Just what we do now is I am very conscious of that. I put my phone to the side. I turn it upside down so I can't see the screen, or it's in my purse. Put it in your pocket, in the seat next to you. So just there's no distractions whatsoever.
I think one thing, it's not 100% that bad with your phones, because like, you may have an issue that's happening at work and Definitely. We're having a dinner yeah. and then all of a sudden you get a buzz and you're like, well, I'm not answering that, but this person really needs your help, and 45 minutes goes by and you're like, well, and then you say, oh, so-and-so called me, what happened? And then it's our, you know what I mean? If you have to get up and step away, because we grew up in an era where we had telephones on the wall.
Yeah.
And if it rang, we'd have to go and get it. So it's the same thing. It's just a little more convenient. But not be on your social media, not updating your Twitter, not taking a picture of your food. Just put your phone away.
Right. The distractions are said to just put aside, to just subconsciously show the other person, hey, I'm here. I'm listening. I'm present with you. That's what yeah. I'm trying to get at, right?
Yeah, for sure. I do like posting pictures and stuff, but it's really geared towards, you know, my family, my friends that I don't see. Hey, look, this is what's going on in my life. This is my family. Hey, look at my beard growth. Or this is the movie I saw yesterday, but I don't really care to have 10,000 likes. Like, I'd just be happy if some of my friends saw it. And they said, oh, your family looks great. That's it. But a lot of people out there, it's like they're obsessed with the amount of likes. And that is cutting into communication between the two when you're trying to have a nice dinner. You're like, oh, hold on. Someone texted me. Someone DM'd me. Whatever, whatever, whatever. It gets just very, very distracting. And it's I think the term is dopamine, where people get this like thrill mm-hmm. that they've got all these likes.
Yep.
And it's really like not even, it's not real. It's someone you've never met before that likes your photo. And these girls will, you know, be half naked and they get like 20,000 likes. Whoopee-doo, who cares? Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I agree. And you know what? What I can say is the value that you can give someone in a conversation is being able to be present and listening. And that listening helps with silence. You know, the value of someone in a conversation, giving them that silence, you're letting them talk, you're showing your interest. And, you know, sometimes it's just about not saying anything and letting the other person talk to get whatever they need to off of their chest to kind of give them that space of validation, right? Listening is really all just a skill that we need to work on as a society, as humans, to be able to connect with other people.
Okay, guys, I am very excited to announce a new sponsor I have. It's with Healthy Nutrition Group. Their specialty is natural Shilajit products. What is that, you ask?
It's a naturally occurring substance. The source high in the Altai Mountains. It's potent and very safe dietary supplement. Even safe for kids, it's known to increase physical strength and promote health. Some of the benefits, it naturally detoxifies your body, normalizes sleep, increases stamina and energy levels, improves memory and attentiveness, slows down the aging process, and improves blood circulation. They have, guys, grade A plus organic shilajit resin. They also have Nutri Honey Sticks. It's a mix of natural shilajit resin and raw honey. Or you can try their natural shilajit capsules. Can I just tell you guys, I've tried the shilajit resin in the past from a different company, but I'm most excited about working with Healthy Nutrition Group because not only do I know that they stand by their grade A plus quality shilajit, but most importantly, they've partnered up with the Koya Project. Proceeds from every purchase made goes towards helping them to build aquaponic farms to grow and feed families who are less fortunate worldwide. So not only do you get the benefits from using shilajit in brain function with anti-inflammatory issues and with anemia, but you get to be part of the bigger picture and contributing to those less fortunate through education and healthy nurturing training with aquaponics worldwide. You can click on the link in my show notes and use my discount code CarnivoreKetoQueen to get 10% off, or go to their website naturalshilajit.com to use my code. Go check it out.
I agree. I've had people where I tried to communicate something to, and they just basically ignore what I said, and I could have added some value to it. They just choose not to listen, and that's a communication breakdown. And then there's other people that are doing something. It could be anything, work or work-related, and you say something, and then they let you say what you have to say, and they're like, that's a good idea, let's try that.
Yeah. And it's just about understanding how each person communicates and trying to get onto their level of communication, because we really want them to feel like they can talk about whatever they need to and say what's on their mind, you know. And really what it comes down to is you have a lot of space. Usually what happens is a person will start talking, and what that shows is you're letting them go deeper and deeper into conversation, and they give you more details on a situation about what they're feeling or, you know, their story. And so just trying to listen and not respond gives them that moment of, okay, you're understanding me, you're listening to me. So that whole one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi in your head, then you talk, and that gives them the space to deal with whatever it is. That understanding, that listening, that's the you in the love. That's you is the understanding.
So with communication, you and I, we're constantly working on our communication and building this relationship every day. But what I do have a problem with, if I could be talking to someone and I'm listening to them, and I'm like, okay, that makes sense. But then there's going to be someone else that, I'm not getting into political beliefs or whatever, but they start spouting something off, and you're going to lose me, and I don't want to communicate with this person.
Yeah.
Because literally, like, maybe someone's very intelligent, but their opinion is different than mine. I'm going to listen, maybe not really say too much. But there's been people in my past that have said incredibly stupid things, and I don't know where to look. Like, I'll try and give my opinion and maybe change their views on it, but I don't really want to communicate. And that's just sometimes the person's toxic. Maybe the person's view on something is completely way out in left field and I just don't agree with it. So that right there, like, I'm not a good communicator.
Right. And while we convey that we're understanding what someone's saying through words, right, like how you were explaining, we also convey that we understand what they're saying through listening through nonverbal cues like body language, tone, facial expressions. All of those often carry the emotional weight of the conversation for the person to feel like we're also listening to them as well, right?
Correct. That's another problem with me is my facial expressions. Like if I'm not wearing my glasses, I tend to squint. I think I just tend to squint naturally. I don't look like the most friendliest person. I am. I'm totally like approachable and you can talk to me all day. But people have said to me in the past, oh, when I saw you, I thought you were some big, mean, scary looking bouncer type. And then why? Oh, just the way you look. So sometimes what I'm projecting looks a little intimidating. I'm 6'3". I'm not a small guy. But I've had to sort of work on that, like smile more, smile with your, you can smile with your eyes, right?
Definitely, you can make nice eye contact. And
so, yeah, communication for me has always been a tricky thing. I'm just trying to figure this out, navigate it through life and trying to project something more positive and being more receptive and talking and listening more and not being so aggressive. I used to be a bit of a hothead, you know, sometimes I would lose control, but communication and being peaceful and talking in a nice tone will work wonders.
Yeah, and so there's verbal and there's nonverbal. What I try to do is I try to tailor my communication style based off who's sitting in front of me or who is around me. I try to tailor it to them. I try to listen to the way that they want me to listen to them. I try to give them verbal and nonverbal cues that I'm listening to them, right? And what it comes down to, we can change a little bit to make people feel like we're on their same level. And it comes down to those head nods, right? The eye contact. It comes down to squaring up your shoulders. It comes down to the verbal cues. It comes down to reflecting back sometimes on what we notice that they're saying to us. It could be facial expressions. It could be reflecting back by repeating back to them. To make them know that you're listening to them and understanding, right?
Yeah, perfect example. Where I work, there's been a few times where there's been some theft going on, and I know the person stealing is coming towards the door, and I just have to stand there and give them a look. And I guess my look is basically, you need to drop that right now because you don't want to mess with this guy right here. And they'll hand me over the product and apologize.
Yeah, there's very large spectrums of the way people communicate. So once again, head nods, eye contact, that's the body language. All of these show that we're listening to them and show that you're present. But more than anything else, the most important thing, and it makes that person feel seen and makes them feel heard, right?
Mm-hmm. You also want to maybe communicate by projecting that you're, if you're confident, stand confident. Stick your shoulders out, stick your chin up. You don't want to look like you're being vulnerable because you can easily be a target. So you're kind of communicating when you're communicating like that, you're basically saying, don't, you know, try and mess with me, or it happens a lot of, you know, people become victims, mm-hmm. because they look frail. And even if you're not a tough guy or whatever, just try to project something that you have confidence you feel good about yourself, and I think you'll do much better in life.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I realized and learned over the past couple of years is that so many people in this world are just starving for someone to hear them, to make them feel seen, to make them feel heard, to make them feel like they're understood, and more than anything else, to make them feel like their emotions are valid, because all often too many people, they will say something that is the truth to them. They completely get invalidated by somebody else's opinion or someone else's belief. So it's important for us to try to build the skill set of making people feel seen and making people feel like their emotions are valid, which then we go into the V, which is validate. By validating someone else's feelings or experiences, it doesn't mean that you're necessarily agreeing with them. That's the most important thing. You can have judgments and beliefs that are completely opposite of somebody, but you can also validate their feelings or experiences at the same time. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're agreeing with them, but it acknowledges that the other person's perspective is legitimate and that you can understand where they're coming from. And part of that validation is to stop trying to fix everyone.
For me, like I worked with people and they'll complain about this and this, and I'm listening. My first thing is to like pull up your pants and be a man. Like, that's basically what I'm like. And I've learned over time that we should start listening more and offering better advice. Because there's things I look at when I listen to and I'm just like, oh my God, what is wrong with this guy? But everyone's story is a little bit different.
Yeah.
We don't know where they're coming from. So over time, I've learned that. So I'm not so harsh and not so to the point.
Well, it really helps with validation, right? If you ask questions to see what someone else is going through, to help them validate their experiences, ask them questions to get a deeper understanding of them.
Yeah.
What else is going on with them, right? What is it that is making you feel this way? Tell me more about that. You can then start to allow them to go deeper by asking these questions to allow them to come out and actually start to see what's going on with somebody.
Right. Like, that was in my previous job. I had a boss. He was horrible. And I think that's, you know, one of the things that really bothered me. Like, there was tons of things going on in my life, but he would not give a shit of what was going on. He was just constantly like on my ass. But other people he would listen to. So I think that really bothered me, but it also showed me that I don't want to be like that. I need to listen to people more. Like, it's been a learning experience for me over the years. Like, I have changed so much, but it's tough for me. But it's also, every time I'm listening to someone's story or whatnot, I'm growing with that.
Yeah, and you know what? Helping somebody is not necessarily about taking away their pain, but sometimes it's about helping them suffer less.
Yeah.
You know, pain is going to happen. That's a part of being human. And, you know, you can tell somebody something and give them advice, or you can ask them questions. And if you ask them questions that make them come to their own actual solutions, they're 10 times more likely to remember it, simply because the brain had to create new neural pathways to get there. But remember, even if you don't agree with them, you still need to make sure that you try to validate them. And so it's about bringing that compassionate understanding as well, because we all just need to be understood. So that's kind of love in a nutshell, L-U-V, listen, understand, validate. It's empowering to someone in this conversation of trying to communicate.
With me, communication's always been a hard thing for me to cope with, because I can be very opinionated, hard-headed. I don't always see, you know, the other person's opinion. It's been a work in progress. I mean, I used to be a guy that had, you know, 100 friends always hanging out, going like tons of people around me all the time. And now I think I probably have 5 people in my life, like friends, that I communicate with. And I listen to them, but there's so many other people in my life that I'm not like friends with. Maybe they're a coworker, but they have things to say and I'll listen and whatnot, but it's not something I really care about. I know that sounds kind of crude, but the people I want to listen to is like you, the kids, my mm-hmm. parents, my friends, and that's it. Like,
yeah.
That is it.
Definitely. I keep my circle small also, right? Right.
But it's not, what I'm saying here is not for people to say, you know, well, that's, I want people to go and communicate, because I'm a person that sticks to themselves. But when I talk, we talk. Like, I talked to my best friend the other day for about 3 hours on the phone. But if someone at work was talking to me, like, I tried to keep it 2-3 minutes, no disrespect, but...
And what I think it just comes down to is, for me anyways, in terms of communicating, I have learned to keep my circle small so that I can give 110% of, you know, that listening, you know, trying to understand people, giving them the validation that they deserve and they need. And it's just about being enriched as a human, as whole, like that whole human connection, that part communication is definitely the key to being able to feel enriched, if that makes any sense at all.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you whole when you're able to communicate properly. Like mm-hmm. for us, for instance, being able to communicate with you on a level that we both understand really helps our relationship, I think. The fact that I can be open and honest with you and come to you with anything and, you know, tell you what's troubling you or what's on my mind or how I feel about you or my day, that is like a load off my shoulders. And, you know, yeah. That is what I love.
Yeah, like saying, keeping our, like, circle of friends small. It's tiresome sometimes when you have 20 friends and one is one way, one is another way, and you have to deal with these different personality types and they don't, whatever. I just kind of got sick of it. So it's just, I have a small circle of friends, but I mostly want to focus on our life, our communication. It's so, like you were saying, we can talk about anything. We've had some pretty funny conversations.
And for like hours sometimes.
For hours, yep. Yep, definitely for hours. And some of the conversations, I can't even say what we talk about because it's so...
Well, yeah, some of it is definitely X-rated.
No.
Okay, no. I think that was just actually my stomach talking, really, yeah. Because I know that I have some steaks that I need to make for dinner.
Tacos.
We're going to do tacos? Okay, yeah. We'll do steaks tomorrow then?
Sure.
Okay, I then, like
see,
that.
See, good communication. Steaks, no, tacos. Okay, then it's tacos.
We agree to disagree sometimes, yeah. Right? But yeah, that being said, guys, that is, I think, a wrap for communication. Love, okay? The three steps. Listen, understand, validate. And us incorporating our experiences into that hopefully helps you guys, and hopefully you can take that away and try to challenge yourself with that and put it into practice and see if that will help you be a better communicator, not only in whatever profession it is you're doing, but in your life, in your relationships, in that human connection.
Yes, agree. Like I've said a few times, that communication has always been sort of difficult for me, but this relationship has definitely opened me up, and I feel much better opening myself to you and talking about
agreed,
things.
Yeah.
It's,
well, let's just face it, having the podcast helps.
Yeah. I mean, like, if we had, like, a hidden camera and you saw some of...
Oh, I don't think you want to see it. But maybe one day, you know, we'll do, like, the video and the podcast at the same time.
Yeah, we'll have, like, a reality show.
That is just way too much for me right now, technology-wise, let me tell you guys. Okay, so let's wrap it up. Keith, why don't you tell people, if they want to get in contact with you, how can they do so, please, my dear?
I will have a Instagram page for you guys to follow soon. And on Facebook, I have a Recalibration of Me group. You can join that. It's just kind of like motivational.
So it is actually called Recalibration of Me is how they find you?
I believe so. Okay. Yeah, we can maybe drop a link or something.
And, okay, sounds good. Yeah.
But I'm going to have a more like Instagram page that's going to link the podcast and things related.
Sounds good. All yeah. Right. And I hope you guys enjoyed. Thank you so much for listening in on this. As always, you can find me on Instagram, Carnivore Keto Queen. On Facebook, I'm not as active, but I am just under Abby Sanchez. And like always, thank you for listening. Until next time, my friends.
And so that is it. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you like what you hear, please share with a friend. Spread the love if you think it's something they could benefit from. And if you want to keep in touch with us, you can follow me on Instagram or Facebook. Instagram is Carnivore Keto Queen. And on Facebook, it's just Abby Sanchez. And if you like what we have, please subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple, or iTunes, because we make it our mission to give you as much valuable stuff as possible. But thank you so much again for listening, and I hope you have an amazing day. And remember, make good choices.